the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So it's time to talk about all things America in advance of the 250th birthday of the United States of America. This Saturday we have Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas with us. But Marion, before we get to the 250, let's start with some of the Supreme Court decisions of the last couple of days before they head off on their summer holidays. In particular, its decision today to reject Donald Trump's bid to curtail the birthright citizenship. Tell us about this.
Yeah, that was an attempt by Donald Trump to strike down the 14th Amendment, which basically said it was based, it's 100 years ago, more than that, based on the story of a Chinese person who was born, a Chinese man born in San Francisco. And it said that any person who is born in the United States is automatically a US citizenship, save for certain categories who are subject to the jurisdiction of the US, children of diplomats, that kind of thing, people who are on certain specific I visas. Everybody else who's born in the United States is a US citizen automatically. Now, Donald Trump wanted that to be struck down very much, and that would have meant about 250,000 children are born in the US every year whose parents are not US citizens. Indeed, Don and Eric Trump and Ivana Trump, their mother was not a US citizen when they were born. Neither was Barron Trump, for that matter. So the Trump children would have been in a spot of trouble. But the Supreme Court struck it. They refused to touch it. It was a very smart decision by the Supreme Court. They've done an awful lot to undermine democracy, in my view, in a lot of their other decisions. But I think with this one, it was a no-brainer. I think it would have been a sort of really difficult, messy thing for them to have undone.
OK, Cal Thomas, what do you make of this decision?
The 14th Amendment, Matt, was passed to protect the children of freed slaves. If you read the debate that went on in Congress before it was passed, that was its intention. What this decision is going to mean, among other things, in my view, is that birthright citizenship is going to be extended to virtually any pregnant woman who manages to get into the United States and have her baby here, and then maybe take it back to another country from which she came, possibly an American adversary, might be Russia, might be China, and brought up in that country with that kind of worldview. I think we are already in trouble from all of the illegal immigrants that we have allowed in this country, and this is going to further dilute the character and the unity of this nation, in my opinion.
Cal, as it happens, I know quite a few people who went from Ireland to the United States in the 80s and 90s, had children there, came back home, and their children now are American citizens because they were born there, and they've availed of their American birthright to be able to go and live and work in the United States now as adults. Is that not something that you would want, that you get people who are interested in the United States, who add something to the United States, if they want to go back there?
Well, Ireland's a lot different, of course, with our relationship with them and other countries in Europe. But again, we go back to the intent of the 14th Amendment. I think that Congress should have repealed it years ago, but it chose not to do so. And this has nothing to do with the children of freed slaves. It has been used basically as a get into America free deal. And I don't think any nation that allows this kind of thing, including open borders during the Biden administration, will be able to sustain its character for long.
Okay, I don't know about the open borders in the Biden administration, but Marion, isn't it the case that Ireland does not have birthright citizenship, that we put an end to that in a referendum about 20 years ago?
That's right. And there are only about 30 countries in the world that do, actually, out of the 190, 200 countries in the world that do allow it. But I think America is a very different and unique case because America is a country of immigrants. It was founded as a country of immigrants. I mean, with no respect whatsoever to the Native Americans accorded or any rights accorded to them, it was taken over and was the whole American thing was bring me your poor, your sick, etc., etc. The Statue of Liberty, everything about America was that it was a nation that was based on ideals that would provide a place for people to come who are fleeing repressive regimes around the world. And that was America's promise. That was the ideology on which it was founded. So you can't really have it both ways then, can you? You know, Ireland never set itself up as that, nor did the UK, nor did other countries, which now have more generous in a lot of respects approaches to immigrants than America does, certainly in the current Trump environment. You know, I, as I say, I don't see the Supreme I take your point, Cal, that it was in contemplation of the children of slaves, but nowhere in the 14th Amendment does it say that. The amendment is really clear. Its language could not be any more clear. And I think that if the Supreme Court has any claim, which I think it has really undermined itself by its other decisions, to be a court that interprets the Constitution rigorously, it couldn't have done anything else other than find as it did. And the fact that it was only 5-4 to me was slightly worrying. It should have been, I would have thought it would be 9-0, given that they're such staunch originalists on the Conservative bench.
And something else that was decided by the Supreme Court, Cal, it upheld the law to count mail-in ballots arriving after Election Day, something else that Trump has been railing against.
Well, as Justice Alito said, Election Day means a day. It is the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. That's in the Constitution. What we need in this country, among other things, is election integrity. People need to feel that the election results were honest, that the votes were counted properly. We have what we call in this country vote harvesting now, where people are able to go to retirement homes and get the ballots from people who are in those homes and then take them to the polling place. Now, that just opens up all kinds of questioning about the validity of such things. When I started voting, I went to the polls on Election Day, and on occasion, I had to file an absentee ballot, it was called, when I was out of town on Election Day or too ill to go to a polling place. All of that has been done away with now, and I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people question the election results.
But the people who question the election results are Trump, who actually has used mail-in voting himself. So the thing is, the Supreme Court still came down, I think you may have been quoting a minority opinion there, they have decided that it is legal and should continue.
Yeah, well, of course I was quoting a minority opinion, but that doesn't mean the opinion is invalid. There have been plenty of minority opinions over the years that wound up becoming majority opinions later under a different court and under different circumstances. But I think you just have to look at the original intent of what the founders intended and what Congress intended when they passed amendments and when they passed legislation. Going back to the 14th Amendment, if you read the debates, if you read the stories, the news reports of that era, back in the in Reconstruction and after the Emancipation Proclamation, it's very clear what the intent of the those who passed and voted for the 14th Amendment were about. And it wasn't about open borders. And I hope we're going to go on to the other Supreme Court case today, decision on the transgender business in women's sports. That's extremely significant.
Well, it is, and I fully intend to bring that up. So tell us what you think of that decision.
Well, I think it's one of those no-brainers. The polling alone is 90%, and that includes Republicans, Democrats, men and women. I mean, biologically, it's just crazy to have a biological men who are stronger and have other physical advantages over women. I mean, we have something called Title IX in this country, which is supposed to and has elevated women's sports and allowed women to get scholarships and endorsements. The Women's National Basketball Association is hugely popular now. And I just think that this whole idea is crazy. The vote was 6-3, with the three being three female liberal justices, which is just amazing to me. I mean, why would you allow biological men in women's sports and by extension, locker rooms and bathrooms and other things? And this is one of the things that Republicans ran on in the last election. And it's what caused Democrats to lose a lot of seats in Congress and the presidency.
Marion, my understanding is that this essentially leaves it back to each individual state to make its own decisions. That's the implication of this decision by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and of course states could decide the other way, that transgender women are welcome to play in sports teams. But you know what? This whole thing, Matt, I just find it so disingenuous and so revolting. Why the Supreme Court ever chose to take up this case is quite beyond me. And I'll tell you why I mean that, is there are apparently about 500,000 children, children aged 12 or up, and college athletes who play on sports teams. There are about 500,000 throughout the states who are playing on, you know, at that level, there are between 5 and 10 transgender, 5 and 10, fewer than a dozen transgender athletes on all of the sports teams, school and college in the United States. This is just another way of, this group is so vulnerable. They have so few people who protect them. Unlike the gay community, they tend to be much lower earners. They tend to not to do nearly as well economically, financially. They are constantly bullied. They are subject to more violence than any other group in America. And this is just another way of beating down on them. The Supreme Court had no business taking that case. They should have told whoever brought to cop the hell on and go and bully someone else. I mean, it was just appalling. There is no need for this whatsoever. This was a big Republican scare tactic. And you know what? It worked, because one of the things that was so effective for Donald Trump back in 2024 was that slogan, Kamala Harris cares about them, we care about you. There's the trans community in America is such a tiny fraction of the community, and the way that they are being bullied, and this is just another example, is disgusting as far as I'm concerned.
Cal, the Supreme Court also threw out Trump's attempts to undermine the payment that he must make to E. Jean Carroll. The court denied his appeal over his sexual abuse of her. That's pretty humiliating, isn't it, for a sitting president, particularly given that he had packed the Supreme Court with his supporters.
Oh, he didn't pack it, Matt. It goes through the usual process. Why is it packing when a Republican gets to nominate justices and not when a Democrat does? Look, I agree with the court decision. It all goes back to character. If you have good character, people making accusations against you are likely not to be believed. But given Trump's history and comments about women, his three marriages, the way he puts down especially women verbally and in other ways, apparently, I think the court made the right decision. I think she was disparaged. She was publicly humiliated, not only in the behavior of Trump, but also in his demeaning of her. That $5 million for him is probably just chump change.
What do you make of this particular decision, Marion?
Right. Well, I think there are two separate things here. Trump is also trying to dispute the payment, the $83 million defamation payment. This just deals with the sexual assault. Now, it was adjudicated by the court in New York that Trump had sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll. He was found liable for sexual assault. He tried to have that appealed. He tried to appeal that. He did not have any legal basis for any appeal of that finding by the jury. And so the Supreme Court decided not to take it up, not to interfere with it, just leave it as it was. So this means that the Supreme Court has found there is no reason whatsoever to dispute in any way the jury's finding that Donald Trump did sexually assault E. Jean Carroll. Therefore, he has to pay the money he's owed. So he is now adjudicated, even by the highest court in the land, to have sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll. So I think, you know, it's a disgraceful finding for somebody who is a pretty disgraceful president.
Okay, Cal, will you be going to the Great American State Fair?
No, but I celebrated the 200th anniversary, Matt. I think between 100 years, it's not as exciting. And plus, this was not viewed as a bottom-up celebration as the bicentennial was. It's more of a top-down thing. And there are other issues. I mean, the way history is taught in our schools and the rest. But I want to say, if you'll just give me 30 seconds, something good about this country. We tend to be on this show anti-Trump as if it is it means anti-American. You know, the United States is a great country, and I'm proud to be an American citizen. America provided significant relief to Ireland during the Great Potato Famine. Citizens across the country organized grassroots fundraising campaigns to send food and money overseas. We helped broker the Good Friday Agreement in Northern Ireland, bringing peace to that part of the land. We saved Europe twice in World War I and World War II. We led the formation of NATO, secured global shipping lanes, advanced humanity by inventing the internet, microprocessors, smart devices, and mapping the human genome. We led global health initiatives, financing programs that eradicated smallpox, drastically reduced polio cases worldwide, and fought pandemics through organizations funded by U.S.-based institutions, including help to AIDS in Africa. So this is a great country that people are breaking to get in. They're not breaking to get into China or Russia. And I just wanted to say that on our 250th anniversary. As the song says, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Well, indeed, this one listener says, it's a shame Trump is trashing that well-deserved U.S. reputation. And please don't conflate being anti-Trump with being anti-American. Maybe the reason we care so much about Trump is because we don't like seeing what it's doing to America, and we don't like what we see how it's doing to America's place in the world, Cal.
There'll be another election in a couple of years, Matt, and we can change leaders and change the direction of the country if a majority of people want to. That's one of the great blessings of this country. If we don't like something that is happening in Washington, we can change the leadership, and I frankly hope we do.
Although, Marion, one listener says many of those innovations were by immigrants to the United States.
Well, you know, that is a really good point. But I'm going to agree with Cal for now in that there are so many incredible things about America. And America at its best has been a terrific friend and supporter of Ireland and of many, many countries around the world. And, you know, having spent a lot of time in America, I have huge affection for it. And I think, as Matt said, Cal, that is why I personally feel so like astounded and horrified at what Donald Trump is doing, because it's like he's ripping out the rug from under all of the things that make America great and doing it very, very deliberately. And let's hope that there, when the next election comes, that there is a self-righting mechanism, which I always believed in. I'm not sure I do as much anymore, but I think that absolutely, if you look at Steve Jobs, his parents were Syrian immigrants, all of the innovation that came to America at some point or another, everybody in America was an immigrant except for the Native Americans. It is a country of immigrants. And it was immigrants who were the great innovators. And I think that, you know, denying America that and trying to shut down that door is just really, really harmful, as is the shuttering of research, you know, all of the research that makes America great in the sciences, as is the keeping immigrants out of American universities. You know, there will be no more Elon Musk, not that I'm sure that'll be a bad thing. But so many of these people who came to America came as students and then stayed. And I think that what's happening at the moment is just doing so much more damage to America than I cannot see what the upside would be. But anyway, I think it is fair to say that, but I think most people and most Irish people have almost, they feel a proprietorial interest in America, that we're so invested in the country, and it is a really beloved country when it's at its best. And I hope that it returns to that.
Cal, a happy 250th birthday
yes,
to you.
Yes, absolutely, Cal.
Thank you personally. Just so you don't think I'm that old.
you weren't there for the revolution. We know that.
No,
we know
that. Thank you.
Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.